It's not just me, is it? But if I'm reading this scripture right, and I apply the template of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 over it, I am compelled as though Christ himself is pleading through me, be reconciled with God. Notice it doesn't say be reconciled with your brother. We don't matter in the big picture. It's them and God that matter. You know, this older brother, he highlights something. If you notice, right at the end of the story, it said he left mad. Now, it didn't say where he went, but he left mad and upset. He was angry. He was angry because he had unforgiveness. He had unforgiveness at his younger brother for what he did, and now he's angry at his dad for what he's doing. A lot of unforgiveness and anger happening. Did it affect the younger brother? No. Did it affect the father? No. Did it affect the reconciliation? No. It affected the older brother only. One of my favorite sayings has been, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. That's what happened to the older son. He drank the poison, and he's waiting for it to be extracted on the younger son. And it's not going to happen. In closing, I want to show you one last thing. This is the one that really blew me away. In Luke, which was our gospel reading, Luke chapter 15. Which is before 17, not after it, Scott. Just in case anybody else was wondering. I'm going to read it, verse 17. This is what happened to the son. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." Do you know what's so incredible about this scripture to me? We get to read it. We get to know what the younger son went through. We get to know where he was, what happened. We got to see the entire recognition of, wow, I've really blown it. And I want to come back to my dad. I'm going to throw myself at his mercy. I'm going to throw myself at his feet. Because even his hired hands. See, the son understood what he had done. He had given away his birthright. Because dad was dead. The younger son said all this stuff, and in true repentance, he came back, humbled himself, ready to throw himself at his father's feet, throwing him at the mercy, just be my master. That's what he was saying, be my master. You don't have to be my dad anymore. Be my master. Now watch it. Don't miss it. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now, if this was symbolizing in this parable, if the father is representing God, then certainly he knew. The son was coming home repentive. But if the father is representing the church, how do we know? If we're an ambassador of this reconciliation, do we stand there and say, well, let me see if there's true repentance or not before I offer you reconciliation? Uh-uh. While he was yet a far way off, the Father, who had no scripture, who had no story, who had nothing to read, who had no idea what his son had just done and what he was coming back to do, when he was afar off, the Father saw him and ran to him. That, brothers and sisters, is the type of messengers of reconciliation we are called to be. It is not our place to be judge and jury of what they did and didn't do. It is our place to be the ambassador of God as though Christ Himself was pleading through us, be reconciled to God, your Father. Which of the three are you in the story today? Which of the three in the story have you been? I know which of the three I need to be. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.